The BS Report is a free-flowing conversation that occasionally touches on mature subjects.
First of all,
this is the BS Report with Bill Simmons.
It might be cool, I don't know. And if it's not, I don't care.
The BS Report with Bill Simmons.
Bill Simmons works for ESPN. He's also named the sports guy, and he writes a comical sports column. He must be a popular dude.
The BS Report.
It's got a real dirty sound, like a rusty steak knife cutting through a well-aged steak.
Now.
Here's Bill Simmons.
Welcome to BS Report. The tallest guest we've had here in the new studio. We've only had three guests, but he's taller than Sugar Ray Leonard and Al Michaels. He's not on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline. He's right here from the Clippers, but not of the National Basketball Association as of right now. Blake Griffin, you've been locked out. What's happening?
Absolutely nothing. I'm bored out of my mind.
You must be going crazy, right?
I am. It's just working out every day. That's about it.
So tell me what your average day has been like since end of April when the playoffs. Well, you must have watched a lot of playoffs, right?
Yeah, I watched all the playoffs, obviously, and just worked out. I took about 2-3 weeks off and started working out.
Were you worn down from the season?
A little bit.
Yeah.
You know, I'd wanted to take some time off to give my body a chance to heal a little bit. But, you know, I've been at it, just working out hard for however many months now, almost 6.
When you say working out, like how many hours are we talking about here?
You know, at least 3 or 4 hours a day.
Yeah?
I mean, sometimes obviously a lot more, but at least, yeah.
Like doing what? Like walk me through your workout routine. You playing hoops? Like,
yeah, like basketball workout, like on the court workout, drills, skill work, then strength and conditioning stuff.
So you have like a little coach, a teacher,
yeah,
any of that stuff? Who is it?
Got a little teacher. Well, I mean, at first, April through all the way through June, I was at our facility,
yeah,
you know, with our coaches and all that. And then since then, now I work out with just different guys here and there.
So you have to find like a buddy,
basically,
like workout buddies.
Yeah.
It's kind of sad though that you're working out with your coaches. You have a little thing at the practice facility, and then July 1st rolls around, and they're like, "All right, Blake, take a hike. You're on your own."
Well, the worst part about it is you can't talk to anybody.
Yeah.
Like not like if I see him in the street, can't even talk to him like that.
Like if you ran into Vinny Del Negro at like
I think,
a restaurant, you couldn't talk to him.
I think the rule is you can say hello in passing.
In passing?
Yeah. Like you can't.
Is there a time limit?
I don't know. Like you could probably be like, hey, how you doing? Like all that. But I couldn't be like, hey, how you doing? And sit down for a second and be like, yeah, I know, this whole thing's crazy. Like, no. And that's anybody. That's all the way down to like the equipment manager.
Really?
Yeah.
So like we're across the street from the Staples Center now. If we ran into like somebody
across the street,
yeah,
somebody will gun me down.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
So, what about like competitive basketball? Like, who are you playing with? Like, how are you getting your kicks?
Playing pickup games. That's about it.
Pickup games with who? Who are the caliber of guys? NBA guys.
Yeah, all NBA guys. Overseas NBA guys.
So, is it like there's like some email network?
Yeah, there's actually a secret website that you log on to.
Shut up.
No.
I wouldn't believe that.
No, I mean, just, you know, word of mouth. You know, there's a lot of guys in L.A., so it's easy.
Yeah.
You know, if you're in, that's why, really, that's a main reason, you know, guys come to the big cities is to get, you know, the best runs.
Yeah, you don't want to be in Oklahoma City for this, probably.
Yeah, there's probably not a lot of guys there. But, I mean, you can get good workouts wherever.
Yeah.
It's just pickup games. You know, guys want to play pickup games. I'm going to do an exhibition in China.
Oh.
At the end of October with some guys. So that'll be organized basketball. So, you know.
So when you do these pickup games, how do you decide how to split up the teams? Because this is a little different than, oh, I don't know if that guy over there is good. Like,
right.
This is like, oh, there's James Harden. I know how
right.
good he is. Like, how do you split it up?
Really just matchups, really. So say James Harden and...
So if JaVale McGee's there, you have him? Or he's a center?
Depends on who, if there's another big guy there.
Okay.
You know, I'll try to match up with a 4, really a 3.
So Jared Dudley, maybe you match
yeah,
up with him.
Jared Dudley.
But if you're the guy, if you're the biggest guy on your team, maybe you have to take JaVale McGee because
right.
nobody else can take him.
Right.
All right. Do you try to play with the guys who are on the Clippers?
Try to. But, I mean, there's, like I said, there's always guys going in and out, so it's not really a lot of Clippers out here.
What was the best pickup game you've had this year? Not you personally, but the best game you were in.
There's been a lot, actually. There's been some good games with, like, some... Yeah, I mean, like, UCLA always has good games.
Because, like, the Westbrook, Kevin Love, those guys are there? Because just the caliber?
Just the amount of pros there.
Really?
There's, like, two full courts going of mostly pro guys, some college guys.
Every day?
Most of the days.
Really? Yeah. And there's a... Is there... a different hierarchy of who's good compared to the NBA? Like, do some people translate better to a pickup game?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I would imagine Westbrook is, like, ridiculous in a pickup game.
James Harden? Yeah. James Harden is a great... I mean, he's a good player, but he's a great pickup game player.
Why?
I mean, he's just... He has that game. Like, he has the game where, you know... pickup games are all one-on-one. Like, you know what I mean? Like all that. I mean, some guys like playing a lot of pickup. Some guys don't like playing a lot of pickup.
Yeah.
I'm somewhere in between.
Do you, you know, I'm now retired, although I made a brief comeback this summer, but I always used to judge basketball guys in those games by who was the most fun to play with.
Right.
And are there guys that you feel like it sounds like James Harden is just somebody they'd be like, oh, that guy's fun to play with. Who are the other guys like that?
The guys that like to pass are the fun guys.
Exactly.
The guys that are pulling up and just shooting every time, you know, they're good players, but they're not that fun to play pickup games.
Why doesn't anybody understand that? It's amazing how many people are like, it's awesome when everybody's done all the work and now I'm going to take a 23-footer. All right, guys, let's run back.
Yeah, let's pick up.
Who else? James Harden. Anybody that you feel like, after watching them in pickup, you don't understand why they haven't had even more success in the NBA?
Ooh, I'm trying to think.
Or somebody you feel like is going to be an up-and-comer based on what you saw?
I played a lot with Derek Williams.
Oh, on Minnesota.
Yeah, he looks good.
That's the Cavs are going to regret that one, I think. I know you can't comment on this stuff, but I just feel like he's the perfect, for what the league is now, somebody who can shoot 23-footers and also go to the rim and play 3 and 4 like that. Like,
right,
that's where the league's going.
It'll be interesting to see how, you know, what everything happens with, you know, their whole team, because they have, you know.
A lot of pieces.
They got a lot of pieces, yeah. So it'll be interesting to see how, you know, how that pans out. But I thought he looked good. Jordan Hamilton.
Oh.
I thought he looked good at times. You know, he can score.
Yeah. Anybody from your team that you're fired up about?
Both of our rookies, I mean. I think we got steals as far as drafting in the second round. We got Trey Tompkins, and Travis Leslie. Both of those.
You think they're going to play for you?
I mean, we'll see. Like, you know, when it really comes down to it, but you know, they definitely have the ability. You know, you never know. I feel like there's such a huge difference in summer basketball, summer league, obviously, and then when you get into training camp. You know what I mean? Training camp. It's like training camp is when you really see like which guys are going to like. Really be able to be out there and contribute the whole time.
Right. We were talking earlier and you said that we're talking about these games that go on and these various summer league type games that went in front of crowds.
Right.
And you said you didn't want to do any of that stuff. How come?
Those games don't really appeal to me that much. I mean, there's some guys that play in them all the time and some guys that don't really like playing in them. Yeah. I haven't seen D-Rose playing one.
Right.
Throughout the summer. I mean, it's just personal preference.
Because you're too competitive or because you just feel like it's a waste of time?
I wouldn't say it's a waste of time. It's definitely not a waste of time. Getting out there and playing is always, you know, always good for you, but it's just a different structure.
Yeah.
Definitely a different structure.
It rewards the point guards. It rewards the guys with 25-footers.
Right.
Kind of what you do, not necessarily.
Rebounders don't get awarded in games like that.
So. I always took care of you back in the day, Blake. The rebounders. The guys are going to bust their butt in the boards. You got to take care of them.
Yeah.
The talk about the Clippers season last year. I mean, it was like one of those weird years. It felt like, had they ever done my idea of at the end of the year, the top 7 seeds in each league make the playoffs, and then there's a play-in for the 8th seed with everybody else, you guys actually would have been probably one of the favorites. You were coming on at the end.
Right. Yeah, well, I mean, we started playing our best in January.
Yeah.
We had that stretch of like 9 straight home wins. And then Eric Gordon hurt his wrist.
And nobody understands how good he is.
Oh, no, nobody
does. It's only
when
like people go to the games.
Nobody does.
Yeah.
You know, definitely our most underrated player.
I would say top 3 most underrated in the league.
Yeah, for sure.
He's never mentioned with like who are the up-and-coming guys.
For sure. I mean, sometimes he is, but yeah, definitely he definitely goes underappreciated. I mean, not by our team. I think our team knows how important and how good he is.
He's had bad luck. It seems like every time he's coming on, he'll get some sort of dumb injury or something. Like anytime he has momentum, something right. will happen to derail it.
Right. He started out incredible.
Yeah.
You know, playing USA basketball last summer, and then
that helped him.
Coming in, he came in, you know, in top form.
Yeah.
And started out. He was averaging almost, I think he was top five in the league for a while. Points scored.
You know what? The thing I always liked with him, he always went at Kobe.
Yeah. He always had great games against
Kobe. Great games against Kobe, and also carried himself like he belonged with mm-hmm. Kobe. And even as like a rookie, I remember watching him and thinking, damn, this guy actually thinks he's as good as Kobe. Like, I think that's a good quality when you have.
Definitely.
So you can see it, I think, sometimes with demeanor. Guys who maybe they think they're doing well or whatever, right. but then you get to put a big gun with them,
mm-hmm.
and they kind of get that. Happy to be there.
No,
he doesn't have that.
Eric is. I would call him fearless. I mean, he has so many weapons. He can shoot the three. He can get by you. Like, his first step is unbelievable, and then his power and strength going up to the rim is unbelievable.
Yeah,
it's like not that many guys can stop him. Either he's going to the rim and he's going to finish, or he's going to get fouled. Either way.
Guys bounce off him. It's kind of like a tight end.
He's like a human bowling ball.
Yeah, what's weird is when he and Barron were together, both of those guys are like two of the most physical guards in the league. Like, I remember talking to Nash about this once, and he's like, I hate playing the Clippers. Like, either guy out of those two that I guard, those guys are just much stronger than me. It's just hard. It wears me down.
Right. For a while, we had Eric Gordon, Barron Davis, and Randy Foy.
Right,
and
three physical guys.
Very physical, very strong.
The Barron, Eric Gordon, it never totally worked out as a match, and I can never figure out why. It's just like their skills, their styles or something. Both of them need the ball in their hands, it seems like, a little bit. I never felt like it totally made it, those two. You don't agree?
You know, not really. I would say that they were. It would work.
You think it would work?
Yeah, it would work for sure. I mean, Barron is the type of guy. Barron can make plays and really affect the game and not score a single point the whole game.
Right.
And
he did that
for us a lot. and it just kind of depends on the game. Sometimes if Eric's not having a great shooting game, then, he needs ways to get around and to get the ball in easy spots to get him going.
I made fun of Barron's weight a little bit in my column.
Oh, really?
The conditioning, yes. Oh. I made a couple jabs, but it was mostly out of love because I think the guy is so freaking talented that I wanted him to be in shape. And also, I'm paying for tickets, and it's like, and I know he's had knee problems and stuff like that, but I mean, you can vouch for Barron at his best is at the top level.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he's one of the best, just talent wise, if he's healthy and happy and all that stuff, he's one of the best 15 guys in the league.
Oh, yeah.
But do you feel like, you know, it seems like. He's such a smart guy. I just don't get him. Like, did you ever figure him out?
Yeah, I mean, I think he, you know, when, like you said, when he's on top of his game, he's one of the best players I've ever played with.
Yeah.
I mean, it's unbelievable. Like, some of the passes he makes, some of the shots he gets off, his creativity on the go, on the court is unbelievable. But, you know, at times, you know, just like everybody else, he needs to be pushed. Just like me. When we were playing, he would push me and I would try to push him.
Right.
You know, it was one of those things. And, you know, I think that people don't realize that even, you know, guys like him, you know, you have to be pushed and you have to want to be out there and you have to want to be, you know, playing at a certain level.
Well, just from watching him last year, it seemed like he had kind of checked out at the end of the season. He wasn't in shape. You start with your stuff. All of a sudden, the Blake phenomenon starts taking off. Now he's back in. And ironically, the stuff that you do was perfect for him because nobody throws better alley-oops than him.
Right.
You guys immediately had a thing, and it seemed like he was re-engaged. Now, I know you like Mo Williams, and I actually think Mo Williams might be pretty good for the Clips. We'll see. But were you bummed when you found out they traded Barron? Because it seemed like you guys had a thing going.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I love playing with Barron. He was you know, he helped me a lot. Like I said, he pushed me and he helped me, get better. Barron gave me 6 to 8 easy points a game.
Yeah.
And that was huge for me as a rookie coming in trying to learn all this and you know, just to get me going. That was huge. But at the same time, you know, with Mo coming in, like I said, you know, I think Mo is tough. He's a different player than Barron. Mo is, you can't leave Mo open.
Right.
You can't double down off of Mo Williams.
Right.
You know, he's going to make a shot. So it's really just about getting a feel for it, you know, like I said, and kind of getting that chemistry in there.
He's somebody that he definitely came from such a weird situation in Cleveland.
Right.
You know, and the way that ended and all that stuff. LeBron leaves. All of a sudden, he's on the worst team in the league. Then he goes to the Clippers, but you guys are right out of the playoffs. Like, I don't know. He might actually be potentially a sleeper if the season ever starts again.
Right, and also he was hurt during the year last year. When we played there in, I want to say early February, before the All-Star break, when we played there, that was his first game back in a long time of being hurt.
Yeah.
So, and then by the time we got him, you know, he'd only been playing 3 weeks maybe.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm honestly looking forward to, well, now we won't have a full year, but
right.
a full year out of the gate of everybody being healthy. You know, Chris Kaman, Eric Gordon, Mo Williams, DeAndre Jordan, Ryan Gomes, Randy Foy, all the way down, Al Farouk, you know, Eric Blood, all the way down the line. Everybody being healthy. You know, you're going to have injuries here and there, but.
You must be frustrated because you get drafted number one, you get hurt right before the season starts.
Mm-hmm.
Whole season's out. Last year, team doesn't really get going up January, season's over in April, now we have a lockout. Like, potentially, I don't know if the season's going to get canceled, but you're in a situation where you might have played one season out of your first three.
Right. I mean, if we have a 50-game season, I'll have played 130-odd games in three seasons.
Yeah. And you're a healthy guy. I mean, that injury was pretty fluky. Do you remember what happened on that play?
It wasn't actually that play.
There was
some problems that had gone undetected before that.
I remember reading about this. So yeah. When they went in, they found out that it was worse than they thought, right, or something?
Right. Well, it had been going on for longer than we had known about.
Yeah.
So, you know, everybody always says, like, man, you got to stop dunking. I remember I saw you dunk that one game and you broke your knee. But it wasn't that play. Like, it wasn't like a fluke play, like, oh, I went up and just, it was like an injury that kind of, it was just one of those things. It was a fluke thing that if I had detected it early on, then probably could have been saved. But
so that whole preseason, it was bugging you, mm-hmm. and you were like, I know something's wrong.
We thought it was tendonitis.
Yeah.
And everybody plays with tendonitis.
Yeah.
So I was just playing. And then that play was the kind of the push me over the edge.
When did you find out? It was pretty in the first like 8 weeks or so, you found out you're probably out for the year, right?
No. In the first, so I got hurt October 24th. 3 days before our first regular season game.
Yeah.
They told me, you know, rehab it. You'll be out 2 months. And then, you know, we'll see how it is. So 2 months went by, and they're like, okay, well, let's give it another month. So kept rehabbing. And then finally, like, they were like, it's not growing back. You know, it's not growing back right. You can try. You can see if it was a tiny piece of my kneecap.
Yeah.
So I said, you know, you can see if this piece is okay and you can play with it. So I tried it for like a week. Tried shooting, jogging, all that stuff, and it just wasn't right. Like, I couldn't do what I wanted to do, so I opted to have surgery. And then that's, like, that moment right there was when I knew I wouldn't be out. I would be out for the rest of the season.
Who do you trust in that scenario when you're talking about your body?
Because
ultimately, the team is this team that you just met 18 months ago. These doctors right. they just met. You have your agent.
Well, I had my doctor, Dr. Elitrosh, who did an unbelievable job. And who's a great doctor. You know, I trusted him completely.
Yeah.
All his information. I had gone to him right at the beginning, right when I first injured myself.
Yeah.
And he was the one that kind of figured out that this had been an ongoing problem.
So what'd you do for those 4 months? Did you go crazy?
I did. For the first 3 months, I was rehabbing, trying to, you know, and my mind was set on coming back.
Right.
And then when I found out I had to have surgery, as soon as the week after I had surgery, I started rehab again, and I basically started from square one.
Ugh.
So I did rehab for 3 months and then rehab again for another 3 months, but it was like the same. It was basically the same plan that I'd already done before, so it was tedious, but I don't know.
I found out you told me you were one of the Clippers players reps,
mm-hmm.
which I didn't know.
Yeah.
What are your duties as player rep? co-player rep, I should say, you and Ryan Gomes.
Right. I'm not really sure. Just know what's going on.
You're the guy, you find out from somebody else what's happening, and then you tell the other guys.
Right. But by that time, everybody else has found out anyway.
Because so they're on Twitter.
I'm calling guys, and I'm like, hey, so I got some news. And they're like, no, we already know. So,
Sounds like a tough job.
I mean, when the lockout does get resolved and all that, you know, I'll be the guy, I guess Ryan and I will be the guy collecting votes from our teammates. So
everybody gets a vote. Everybody's vote counts the same.
Yep.
Kobe's vote counts the same as Delonte West.
Right.
Were you shocked, though, that, like, last week, all of a sudden, it seemed like, oh, they're talking. Oh,
right.
Good stuff's happening. Oh, they're in a room. And then all of a sudden, like, no, actually, we're going to cancel the first 2 weeks.
No. I mean, I feel like this is... I mean, we've been preparing for this for a long time, you know, back in February when nobody cared about the lockout.
Yeah.
You know, we knew that this was could be a possibility.
But isn't that frustrating for you? Like, you knew and I knew in February that we were going to end up probably in this place.
Right.
And yet, you know, weeks would pass and nobody would talk. And all of a sudden there's urgency the last week and stuff. It's like, where was the urgency in February? Why not then?
Yeah, I mean, that is frustrating. But at the same time, you know, as players, we want to play.
Yeah.
And it's frustrating because I don't think people really know what's really going on, and that's something that, you know, hopefully somebody will figure out eventually. I can't speak on it, but...
You mean people don't know, like the general public doesn't know, or just everybody doesn't know? What don't you think the general public knows?
I think a lot of people think, oh, these players are just trying to be greedy, and they just want this and they want that, but it's not really that.
Right. The owners are trying to take back a pretty big piece of... would have been negotiated for years and years and years.
Like, let me just set up this scenario, and this has nothing to do with the lockout. If somebody came into your house and took all your stuff,
yeah,
and was like, okay, all right, we'll give you like your couch back.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, cool, but I want my other stuff back. And they're like, all right, we'll give you your bed back. And you're like, okay, well, I still want all my other stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, so that's like how we see. Like, that's what it is. Like, it's not that we want like, oh, we want a new house. We want all new. We want what we had back.
Right. That makes sense. My counter to that would be, I do think attendance is changing
in what
over
way?
This decade because I think people
in a negative way.
In a negative way, not because of anything you guys are doing, but because I think it's just going to be harder to get people to come to games.
Like, well, 82 games, 41 home games
is a lot of games. And it's not, like, I have good seats. I like sitting in them. I'm between the baskets. I'm seven rows. But if I'm in the upper deck, do I want to come to 41 games? If I have a 65-inch TV at home, I can watch you dunk at home.
Right.
And that's the part that I don't think the players are totally seeing is that the habits of the fans have changed. And if I stay home on a Thursday night, or a better example, Wednesday night, there's 11 games going on.
Right.
I'm zipping through not just your game, but three other games, and I'm on the internet, and I'm doing all kinds of things, and it's, you know, you're competing with that now. And that's what worries me.
That's true. I was talking to somebody the other day about what if we had, and this is just hypothetically, what if we had a 50-game season?
Right.
You know how we would eliminate back-to-back games, so guys would be fresher on a you know, coming off a back-to-back. Two games a week, guys. You know, it's
a little more like football.
Yeah, in a sense.
Would you play better under? You would be fresher under that.
Oh yeah,
right?
I mean, anybody play. You know, if we play three games in four nights, that third game is tough on your body.
Yeah.
Physically. If you play one game Monday and one game Thursday, like that Thursday game, you're going to be ready to go the whole game.
Yeah.
You know, not just the third or fourth quarter. You know.
And I don't. This is something I don't think the average fan really understands is how big of a part of the culture this is, like you guys call it the schedule loss.
Right.
Fourth game in five nights, schedule loss. Like you could see that coming in.
Right.
We were in Indiana last night. Now we're in Cleveland. It's a fourth game. And couldn't they at least go to 75 games? It feels like you get rid of seven games.
Right.
Now you've gotten rid of all those four game in five night scenarios.
Right.
You're a little fresher. Guys are getting hurt less.
Yeah. I mean, this is all besides the point, but yeah, I mean, I think that's cool. I mean, as a player, I don't think people realize, you know, you hear people say, oh, well, the NBA games don't start till the second half anyway, or fourth quarter anyway, you know what I mean,
right.
Whatever it is. But I don't think you realize the effect. of a player that's playing 35 to 40 minutes a game.
Yeah.
Every night, 82 nights, you know, a year.
Well, plus on the, but you're banging against bodies that are like ripped muscle dudes.
Ripped muscle guys.
You're jumping up
and down.
That's
how I describe them.
You're jumping up and down.
Yeah, I mean, it is taxing, but at the same time, you know, this is our job and this is what we're paid to be ready for this. But at the same time, it's taxing. It'd be taxing on anybody, no matter how good a shape you're in. It's taxing.
We played in the Staples about 6 weeks ago. I've played in the Staples more recently than you have somehow.
That's impressive.
But we were talking about how big that court is.
Right.
And it's like, you take it for granted watching these guys just run up and down. You guys are taller, obviously, so it's less steps, stuff like that. But it's a mammoth court. It and you're running back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Like, I don't think people give enough credit for how well conditioned you have to be.
Right.
And then to do that, I don't know. Some days you'll play 11 games in 20 days or 11 games in 19 days or something.
Right before the All-Star break, we were on a road trip. It was a 14-day, 8-game road trip.
Oof.
So we played 8 games on the road straight. Wednesday night was our last game in Minnesota. Flew home. Got home at 3 in the morning, and then All-Star break started Thursday at noon. I had to be at the first thing at noon. And All-Star break is nonstop. You know, from the time I checked
into the
hotel.
Especially for you. It was your debut, basically.
It was literally nonstop. I would be up at 7 in the morning and get to my hotel room at 12 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
So, and then from there, we went right back on the road the very next day for 3 more games. And like that month alone, February alone, was like the most unreal month of my life. Like, it was, by the end of February, I was just like...
You were just a shell.
Right.
Did it affect you on the court a little bit?
Yeah, it did.
Yeah?
If you look at some of my games in early March...
Yeah,
I didn't play very well, and then I think we got to come home, and we were home for like a week and a half, and that like kind of recharged and finished out the season.
Well, it was interesting what happened to you last year. It's not like you weren't famous before. You were the number one pick. You did well in college, but then you started to become like legitimately famous. Like the Knicks game was really like the tipping point with the dunks, and now you become like the signature guy. Could you feel your life changing as this whole thing was happening?
I mean, a little bit. I mean, it was really weird, you know, road games at the beginning of the season compared to road games towards the end.
What do you mean?
Just the crowds, like, and like as a team, really, like how exciting we were as a team, I think.
Yeah.
Like there was some of our games at opposing arenas were sold out.
Yeah.
Like because of like, you know, guys coming. We were an exciting team to watch, you know, DeAndre Jordan, Baron Davis, Eric Gordon, like all those guys I named, like. We were fun to watch, and it was fun.
So you felt that shift?
Yeah, I think we all did. We definitely all did.
And then obviously endorsements, stuff like that. All these people are coming at you, media requests. Right. This guy wants 20 minutes. This guy wants an hour.
Yeah, I mean, I just basically sold myself out.
Did you have to pick and choose? Do you have somebody doing that for you?
Yeah, I mean, you have to know when to, you know, you have to get your rest. And I think that's one thing that a lot of the older guys and guys that have been through all that explain to me. You know, you have to learn to say no from the beginning.
Yeah.
And, you know, I have, and you know, my deals with a select few companies that I really believe in, you know, companies that I think are really a part of my brand. And, you know, that's who I stick with, you know. Companies like Subway, companies like, you know, Kia, you know, things like that. I have my thing, and you just have to stick with that. Nike, right. I mean, you know, the things that I actually use and I actually, you know, so you can't just do everything and you'll just be running around all over the place.
Did you feel like people started treating you differently?
Yeah, definitely. I have a lot more friends now than I did 2 years ago, so it's cool.
Did you seem like a guy who would stick with the friends that you had when nobody knew who the hell you were.
It definitely made me appreciate, you know, the people that were close to me that year when I was hurt.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely. I mean, it's funny because...
I used to feel bad for you. Because you'd be dressed and you'd have your little suit on, and I could just see you on the bench going, God damn, I want to be out there. Yeah. You could just see it. It was oozing from you.
Yeah, it was tough. I think it was, in a way, as good as it can be, it was good for me.
Really? Why?
Just because it honestly made me hungry, very hungry.
Yeah.
It made me patient. It made me realize, you know, what it actually takes to get back to that point. Like you said, I was the number one pick in 2009.
Yeah.
So I mean, it was kind of like a a roller coaster. You know, I was I was going for a while there. Like, I was so ready to play my first season, and all that got taken away for an entire season. I was sitting there, and then, you know, came back up and finally got to play now. And now it's like this. It makes you appreciate, like I said, some of the people that have been with me.
So in a weird way, it was a good thing. Even though you wouldn't do it that way again.
Right, I wouldn't do it that way. But, yeah, I mean, you can find a lot of positives from it, for sure.
The other weird part that turned out to be a silver lining was when they fixed your knee. I think I read that you said this. You felt like you could jump even higher than you did before the surgery, before you got hurt.
Yeah. I mean, you think about it. I was doing, like I said, I was doing rehab exercises on both legs for an entire year, like 3 months, and then had surgery, then 3 months again.
Right.
I was doing, and then all throughout that next summer, like, I was still doing like leg exercise, like really concentrating on like legs and getting my explosiveness back. And I mean, I put in a lot of time, and it, you know, it turned out to be a blessing in disguise.
And somehow you got DeAndre Jordan in shape. I don't know how you did that.
I mean,
I know you're not taking credit for that, but I've watched every home game that he's played pretty much, and he was jumping higher last year.
DeAndre put a lot of time in last summer, and, you know, really, really came in ready to go, and he's put in a lot of time this summer. Yeah. He's really worked hard, and I'm proud of that. He's obviously a good friend of mine, but, you know, anytime you see a teammate working like that, it's always cool.
I asked you this before, but I'm going to ask you again because now we're doing a podcast. What is it about him that even, like, he was, like, second year in the league, he knew 8 or 9 guys on the other team, and in the pregame warm-ups, he would go over, and it was like he was, like, everybody's best buddy. I was like, how does this guy know this many people?
He's just a likable guy. That's him. Like, everybody, you know, if you meet DeAndre, like, chances are you're going to like him.
So, would you say he's the key clubhouse guy for you guys?
Yeah, he's one of those guys that's always, always talking, you know, talking to everybody.
Yeah.
You know, always trying to go to dinner with everybody, like organize the big group, you know, which is great.
You have to have that one guy.
Got to have that guy, and he's that guy for us. And, you know, that's great, especially for how young of a team we are.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's good, you know, the young guys all stick together, obviously. But
you need that old guy. You need, like, the 34-year-old guy who's been divorced, who tells you what to do with your checks and watch out for that lady.
Right.
Stay away from her, all that stuff. They didn't have that guy last year.
I mean, yeah, you're right. Our oldest guys now, Chris Kamen and Mo Williams.
When I take over as GM, I'm going to get you the experienced veteran, 34-year-old type guy.
Appreciate that.
How did once your career took off last year, was there any difference in the ladies? Because you're a single guy.
The ladies.
Hey, the ladies? Did you get any, like, random actresses or singers or anybody? Like,
well, what? I don't like to talk about my personal life.
I want to hear about your personal life.
No.
Nothing? Didn't change?
No, I had a girlfriend during the season.
Oh.
Yeah, so.
Well, who was this young lassie?
I don't like to talk about my personal life, so. You know, it's one of those things.
Someone you met in Los Angeles? Possibly?
Yeah. Maybe. Yeah, the lockout is crazy.
Wait, I got to ask you about Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Because part of the reason we're having this lockout is because when everybody becomes a free agent, they want to play in Los Angeles or Florida or New York.
Right.
You were fortunate enough to play in Los Angeles.
Right.
Does it matter to you?
Where I play?
Yeah.
I mean, you
get to live on the beach, you do your thing in Los Angeles.
Right.
Like, is it really that big of a deal that these guys are ditching their teams to go to there? Like, could you play anywhere?
Yeah, I could play anywhere. I mean, but my whole thing is trying to win.
Right. So you go to where the W's were.
Yeah, I'm going to sell myself out for the W's. No, I mean, I would love to be in one spot and make a career out of it and be on a winning team.
Yeah, I didn't mean to put you in the position of, because I know you love, I know you want to be part of the Clippers. That wasn't the question. It was
how guys are coming to the big cities and stuff like that.
I don't understand why that's become more important than winning in a way. And I don't want to name names, but, like, if you're going to New York and it's a 2-man team, it's basically you're picking the city over what the situation is. You know what I mean?
Well, at the same time, though, guys are more inclined to want to play in a big city. So it's so say.
But why, for living or for the fans or what do you think it is?
I mean, would you rather? I mean, I'm not trying to. Okay, would you rather live in Los Angeles or some town in like South Dakota? Sorry, all you South Dakota people out there.
I would rather live in Los Angeles. That's why I live here. Right. Yes.
So, like, that's how, I mean, basketball.
But I feel like you wouldn't care, though. Like, you wouldn't have cared where you were drafted. You would have been happy.
Oh, yeah, exactly. I mean, playing, like, for me, playing basketball is playing basketball. I didn't care. Like, it just happened to be Los Angeles.
Right.
I would have been happy going anywhere.
Did you kind of secretly want to get drafted by Oklahoma City? Because they were, like, one of the four teams that had probably the best chance, right?
Honestly, I was just, I was just trying to be just open-minded and not, because I had no control of it. You know what I mean? I didn't want to be like, oh, I want to go here and then not go there. And I didn't want to be disappointed at all, and I wasn't.
Probably wouldn't have been great for you just because I think it's tough when guys play at home.
Right.
Everybody comes out of the woodwork at that point.
Right.
Everybody you've ever met.
And that's, yeah.
You must feel a sense of pride, though, that the Oklahoma City thing's gone so well for those guys.
Oh, yeah, it's great.
I'm still a little mad about the Sonics getting taken away.
Right.
But,
it's great for the city. I mean, and Oklahoma's embraced that team. I think you ask all the Thunder guys, I think they love playing there. I think they love the arena. They love the fans. They love the atmosphere. And I think Oklahomans have done a tremendous job of really embracing that team and being behind them 100%.
When that was your first game there, when was it? It was like November, December last year?
No, we didn't play there till right after the All-Star break. That was our first road trip. Yeah, our first road trip.
Emotional going back?
It was. I actually, right before All-Star break, my best friend had passed away.
Oh.
And so
I remember
it was just like
actually.
A whirlwind of like emotions. Like, and then being back. And then the second time we played there was like right at the end of the season, like I think the beginning of April.
Yeah.
I actually, you know what's funny is I actually got booed louder in Oklahoma City than any arena that we played at.
Really? Why would they do that?
Well, probably Oklahoma State fans.
Oh, I didn't even think of that.
Yeah, it's fun. Like, because some Oklahomans like bring that up to me if I ever like see them.
Were you supposed to go to Oklahoma State?
I mean, I wasn't supposed to.
Oh, so they're just holding the rivalry grudge.
I don't really know. It was funny though. I didn't really get booed at any, like, New York, like, you know.
Mm.
I don't really boo, like, unless it's, like, if I play for the Lakers or something, you go to, like, Boston, obviously you're going to get booed. But, like, we didn't really get booed anywhere, and then I went to Oklahoma City, and it was like, boo, you suck. Like, oh, it's good to be
What
back.
Was your single favorite city to play last year? Doesn't have to be your single favorite city, but just your favorite game experience in a road arena.
I mean, obviously... The garden is always fun, but really last year I loved playing in Chicago.
Really?
Chicago, and it was even off of a back to back, but we went in, we played Detroit.
Because of Derrick Rose or because of the fans?
Because of the atmosphere. I mean, I'd never been there. I mean, I'd never been to a game in there, and it was. I thought it was cool. Like the fans, the team, like, you know, the atmosphere was great, and we won that game. So.
Well, I can tell you that. I was there in 2006, the one good Clips year of the past, like, 12, when Elton Brand was great that year. Crowd was good.
That's what
the Clipper,
yeah.
It really was. So if the Clips ever turn it around to the point where you have playoff games like that, the crowd does show up. And
I mean, we had good crowds this
year. You did.
We had great crowds
toward the second half, you did.
Yeah, I think when we played the Suns right after Christmas.
Yeah.
From that game on, I remember going to the after the game, walking in the tunnel, and like some of the players, we were talking about how like the crowd, like it was
kind
sold out.
In. Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it was like the crowd was locked in the whole time, and from like the whole month of January, it was like that, and like sputtered in like March. You know, we weren't making the playoffs or anything.
The other problem is you get a lot of the crappy dates because of the Lakers Clippers thing. Like you get like. You know, Sunday at 6 o'clock when there's football playoffs on and
Sunday
stuff like
at
that.
Noon.
Or Sunday at noon, yeah. Or you get like the Martin Luther King afternoon game. Nobody's at that game.
Right.
You don't get any of the like the Thursday night TNT type.
Right.
But maybe if you guys get better, I think you'd get some of those.
We're working on it.
But the other thing I want to ask you about last year, what was it? Oh, the slam dunk contest, all that stuff.
Oh yeah.
Would you do that again?
I'm not really a slam dunk guy, like that's not my thing. I did it this year because, you know, they had asked me, and it's just not my thing. I don't know. I'd have to have some
didn't
dunks
seem like
in
you
line.
Enjoyed it that much.
What's that? No, yeah. I mean,
you did it.
Well,
once.
And also the dunk contest, everybody hypes it up so much, and they're like, "Oh, like we can't wait for." But honestly, it's like, what can we do that hasn't been done?
Yeah,
it's all about like bringing something onto the court, like the car, like you know
props.
What I mean. It's stuff like that. Like, it's not. I mean, and it, you know what's crazy? I heard somebody sent me a link to a radio interview that Sean Kemp did.
Yeah,
and he said that he said that my dunk was the worst dunk he's ever seen.
Sean Kemp, how dare he?
And I was thinking about it, so then I went to my good friend YouTube and yeah. YouTube some of his dunks, and I'm like, what? Like that's the thing though, like everybody sits back and hates on the dunks that people did in the dunk contest.
It's like
they're not just like, oh okay, that was like, you know, that's cool.
Yeah.
Like nobody's gonna come and do a double 360, like you know what I mean? Like
right.
A legit one, like nobody's gonna do a double windmill, nobody's gonna do between the legs twice.
Right.
Like, so it's like, I think, I don't know, that part of it just kind of turned me off to the dunk contest.
What about the Olympics?
I would love to play in the Olympics. I think there's probably no better.
Oh, wrap up? Okay. What about the Olympics?
I would love to play in the Olympics. I think there's, like, no better stage to play.
Did you want to be in the trials last year? Or, I mean, whatever, the World Championships?
I wanted to, yeah, but unfortunately it didn't really work out.
You weren't quite ready yet?
No, I was ready. But at that point, I hadn't even played a game for the Clippers yet.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
You know,
so you're available for the Olympics. London, 2012.
Hey, I would love to. But, you know, there's a lot of guys that deserve to be on that team, so.
All right. Throw your hat in the ring.
I'll try.
Last question. Give me a prediction for when you play your first NBA game.
Oof.
Give me a date.
Can I do that?
Yeah. Totally legal.
Gosh, I thought I knew.
Are you playing on January 15th?
We have to be playing by then. If we don't play by a certain... whatever. I'll say...
I thought it was like a 50-game season would have to start by like January 10th, something like that?
Yeah, I thought it was 7th.
January 7th.
I don't know. I really don't know.
And you might have to play a couple back-to-back-to-backs.
Right.
Which would be kind of be fun, deep down. You're dying to play. Yeah. There you go. Here's three games in a row.
I'll go with, I'm just going to split it, December 15th.
Oh, I hope you're right.
So do I.
Blake Griffin, I hope to see you on the basketball court soon. Thank you for being the BS Report.
Thank you for having me.
So I get to shut off.
Whoa. Thank you for downloading the BS Report with Bill Simmons.
Too much fun.
Check out more podcasts at the iTunes Music Store or at Podcenter at ESPNRadio.com.
Peace out.